shining a light on podcasts and videos that have caught our attention. The Spotlight with Jen Spiker. Weekdays on Vision and on demand in the free Vision Christian Media app.
realfaith.org.au.
He was circling over and over, and I thought, Lord, just be with that pilot as he tries to land. And all of a sudden, bang, he'd gone into the side of the mountain. And the nurse aides, they ran up the mountain and they were able to get the pilot. And while I was caring for him, there was another missionary got on the radio to tell that we had this pilot who was badly injured.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through. Helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, once again, Emily Ward is joining us to share more of her extraordinary story. Emily is the author of the book Gracious Survival, The Lord's Nurse, Glasgow, Sydney, and Tekken. Last time we heard how she grew up in a poor family in Glasgow and was evacuated during the Second World War to rural Scotland. Also, we heard that despite repeated bouts of tuberculosis, she survived and was able to fulfill her dream of becoming a nurse. Today, we'll hear more about her experiences as a nurse and how she eventually fulfills her dream of becoming a missionary. All that and more is coming up as Emily shares more of her story from her home in the western suburbs of Sydney. You believe that everything you went through as far as your health challenges with tuberculosis, that all that helped you to become a better nurse because you could be more sympathetic to your patients.
Exactly. And I believe that God trained me by having this illness and understanding what it meant to be lying in a bed in a hospital. So it was all part of my training. Mm-hmm. And of course, all the time off was my part of training in God, in my Bible study and prayer. And all the time, that young minister was a great influence in my life. He started me reading books. I had never read a book. So he chose all the books for me, and I started reading. And I got to like reading, and all that helped my English and all the other things in my life. And so I settled down to 10 years working in a little infectious diseases hospital. I was very content. Mm-hmm. I was loving my work. I was very active in my church, and I loved the Lord.
And because you were so empathetic with your patients, you would actually hold their hand through pain that they were going through.
Oh, yes. I remember an old man was admitted, and he was filthy. He had been taken off the street. He was very dirty. He was full of lice all over his body and all through his beard. And the nursing staff were kind of, oh, the smell, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember going up to that old man and holding his hand and whispering in his ear. And I said, don't worry, I care for you. And I remember helping getting him washed and bathed and cleaned up and put in between lovely white clean sheets. And I would go when I could and whisper in his ear, God loves you. You'll be all right. And he never responded. He didn't have any relatives. He was all alone. And I just committed him to the Lord. There are things like that I remember. I can't remember them all, but they stand out. I felt that every living man and woman is precious in the sight of God.
Amen.
They are made in his image. We should never, ever look down on anybody.
And there was another time you were holding, or you thought you were holding, a patient's hand?
Oh, no, that's funny.
Tell us about that.
In my being a midwife, I was training, and we had this lady who was having difficulty in her delivery. And I always like to encourage them, and I'd like to hold their hand. And we had to call the obstetrician and two young doctors, trainees. And we were all round her bed and she was covered with a sheet. And as the pains would come, I put my hand under the sheet and I held her hand. And every time a pain would come, I would squeeze her hand just to let her know I was there and that I cared. And after it was all over, which took quite a wee while, and a lovely newborn baby, when they removed the sheet from the lady, there I was holding one of the young doctor's hands. It caused a lot of laughter, but I was very embarrassed.
Your intentions were good.
I hope he didn't think I was squeezing his hand intentionally.
Apparently he didn't mind it anyway.
No. These things happen.
Yes, so that was your time as a nurse in Scotland. Let's find out about how you came to Australia.
Well, all the family had married, and my older brother had died at 32. My father had died.
Both of them from tuberculosis?
Yes. So what happened was there was only my mother and I left. And we decided that we would visit some of my sisters in Australia. But my sister in America, we had already visited her. So we made plans to visit Australia, to visit my family. Anyway, before we got to doing that, my mother died. My mother had had tuberculosis too. She had been in hospital and had a lung removed. She had lived through all that for many years, but now she died with a stroke. I was left alone in the house where 10 of us used to be.
Wow, all by yourself.
Yes, I never married. And I've got a whole chapter on singleness in the book. But I won't go into that here because I want to say that I didn't know what to do, whether to still go to Australia. To me, Australia was the ends of the earth. Why would I want to leave Scotland? And anyway, I felt one day I was doing my dishes and I felt God was speaking to me and saying, yes, you're going to go to Australia. My physician was very good. He arranged with the embassy that all my x-rays and results and everything went and I was accepted into Australia.
Fantastic.
So that was how I got in. And I got a job in the children's hospital, and I was there for about 2 or 3 years.
But you always had that desire deep in your heart to become a missionary.
Yeah, but I'd put it out of my mind at this stage. And then one day, there was a notice in our church saying that there was a group going to Irian Jaya, and anybody who would like to go, get in touch with the office. So I did. I got in touch with the office and I said, could I go on that tour? And when they heard that I was 44, they said, oh no, it's only young people we're taking. Anyway, about 5 weeks or 6 weeks later, I got a call from the office saying, do you still want to go to Irian Jaya? I said, oh yes. They said, well, we're going to accept you.
Wow.
So I met the rest of the team in Sydney at the airport. The youngest was 18, and the oldest was 22, and then there was me.
Oh, wow.
So we went to Irian Jaya, and we trekked through the mountains, and I trekked better than all the young people.
Oh, wow.
Because I used to go hill climbing in Scotland.
Yeah.
But remember, I had only one lung functioning properly.
Oh,
but
wow.
I did it all, and we helped. There was a doctor, a young trainee doctor, and two trainee nurses. And we all helped with the medical work in Irian Jaya. But it was an eye-opener. That was...
Yeah.
And when I was there, I felt, you know, Emily, God can still use you, even at your age, if you want to be a missionary. And that was what started it. When I came home, I applied to the Australian Baptist Missionary Society, mm-hmm. who had taken us on this tour. To cut a long story short, I was accepted and I found myself in Papua New Guinea and in a very isolated place. The only way in and out was by small light aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Or you had to climb mountain upon mountain.
Oh, wow.
So I managed to get there. It was a very small airstrip. When you landed, the airstrip went up the way. And at the end of it, there was a mountain. And when you were taking off, you went down the way and, oh, right up into the air.
Oh, wow.
It was thrilling, but dangerous. Anyway, I started medical work there.
Our guest today is once again Emily Ward, who's the author of the book Gracious Survival, The Lord's Nurse, Glasgow, Sydney, and Tekim. Today we're hearing more of Emily's extraordinary life journey from Scotland to Australia. And, as we just heard, she fulfilled her dream of becoming a missionary when she went to Papua New Guinea while she was in her 40s. Next, we'll hear about some incredible experiences she had while she was there as Emily shares more of her story. All that more is coming up when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and today we're chatting once again with Emily Ward, who's sharing her life journey with us that started in Scotland. And next, we're going to hear about her time as a missionary nurse in a remote part of Papua New Guinea that was only accessible by airplane. As we'll hear, Emily had some extraordinary experiences while she was serving the Lord there. So your lifelong dream to become a missionary finally came true in your 40s. Tell us about some of the experiences that you had in PNG.
I went trekking a lot because I had to go to villages. We had 600 children under 5-year-old scattered throughout these villages mm-hmm. who needed vaccinations and care and pregnant women. And there was no doctor. There was no way in and out apart from a small light aircraft. And I had lots of experience in dealing with emergencies mm-hmm. and getting onto MEF. MEF was Missionary Aviation Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
They could fly in daylight hours.
Mm-hmm.
But after 4 or 5 o'clock, they could not come in. You had to deal with them
mm.
until the next day. And there are many stories that I could tell you about that. But there was one day I got a lady in and she was suffering from malaria and she was in labour.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a room for the labour ladies and with one bed. And I had a lady already on the bed. So I had to get her off the bed and on the floor and get this sick lady on the bed. And when I delivered them, it was twins.
Mm.
I delivered the twins, and they were tiny wee babies. And we wrapped them up, but the woman was too ill to have them on her bosom. So we put them in a cardboard box with a hot water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took her off the bed onto the floor, a mattress, because the other lady was in labour and got her on the bed.
Oh, wow.
And the lady that was so sick, I had her on a drip. And then we delivered her. But to cut a long story short, we delivered 5 that night.
Oh, my goodness.
5 babies, and I've got a beautiful picture of them all.
Was there a doctor there, or were you by yourself?
Oh, no doctor.
Just you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Me, and I had 4 nurse aides.
Mm-hmm.
They had minimal, basic training in Papua New Guinea. So I had to have help.
Hmm.
But this lady with the twins, they were tiny wee babies, and when we treated her for her malaria and got her settled, the little babies, we put them on her breast, and they survived.
Oh, fantastic.
No incubators.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. A hot water bottle. She came back and saw us months later, mm-hmm. and they were doing well, these tiny wee babies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many stories I could tell you. I can't bring them all to mind.
And you mentioned Mission Aviation Fellowship before. Tell us the story about the pilot.
Missionary Aviation, well, they're the people that came in and took us over the mountains to the ones that we couldn't walk to.
Mm-hmm.
And they took us over the mountains to do clinics. And one day I wasn't very well, and I had to fly over. And I thought, I'll get one of the other nurses to do it. I don't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
And the ABF pilot was there, and we could hear him circling above. They came from WeWork,
mm-hmm.
which is on the coast, and they would fly into these very remote areas. And he was circling over and over, and I thought, Lord, just be with that pilot as he mm-hmm. tries to land.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, bang, he'd gone into the side of the mountain.
Mm.
And the nurse aides, two male nurse aides, they ran up the mountain, and they were able to get the pilot out because he was upside down but still strapped in.
Mm-hmm.
So they cut the belts mm-hmm. off him, and they got him out unconscious. And they managed to get a stretcher up there, just a couple of boards and canvas, and they carried him down to the clinic where I was waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I'd got things ready for an emergency. When he came in, he was unconscious. We put him on the labour bed. It's the only bed we had in that room.
Mm.
And he had a very bad leg injury. He had one mm-hmm. above his eye. And he was in pain. Although he wasn't conscious, we knew the way he was acting. But anyway, I stabilised his leg and we gave him an injection. And while I was caring for him, there was another missionary got on the radio to tell that we had this pilot who was badly injured. Anyway, during that time, Atalia was a Papua New Guinean aircraft
mm-hmm.
landed in our strip, and we weren't expecting anybody.
Oh.
And the thing was, they told him about the pilot down in the labour room, and he said, I'll take him.
Mm-hmm.
And he took him away to Teddy, where there were two doctors. And we were so relieved. I thanked
yeah.
God.
Oh, fantastic.
And we got him in. And
mm-hmm.
when he got to Teddy, the doctors managed to stabilise him. And then they sent him to Australia. Now, just to let you know that his name was Ross Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now a Presbyterian minister
oh.
in WA.
Oh, wow.
But there was a lot of other things happened. And
you eventually met him?
Yeah, 20 years later, I was visiting WA,
mm-hmm.
and I met Ross because we didn't know one another.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lovely time together, and he really wanted to know exactly what happened because he couldn't remember anything.
Yeah. Wow, so you got to tell him how he survived that plane crash.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there were other times that things didn't go too well.
Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we want to get to some more adventures because after 12 years of serving in PNG, you decided to come back to Australia and serve with the Salvation Army, mostly with drug addicts. Please tell
yeah.
us about that.
Well, I felt I needed another job, but I didn't know what God would have me do.
Do you ever take a holiday?
Not often. Anyway, I'll just very, very briefly tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I got this job in the Salvation Army, and it was looking after drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was responsible for taking their bloods and getting their bloods off and detoxing and all that. But it was a good job, and I enjoyed it. But it wasn't always nice.
Hmm.
I admitted one lady, and she didn't seem too bad, and got us settled and everything. And but that same night, she managed to get out of a window in the top floor and jump, killed herself.
Hmm.
And one day when I was going to my work, when I was getting a train down, a man in front of me went on the rails.
Hmm.
And he was run over by the train. He committed suicide, and I was devastated because I called on him to get off. There was a train coming, but he just lay flat over the rails. And so I had these things that happened, but there was a lot of wonderful things happened. And when I worked with them for 3 years, and then I retired, and after I retired, I went to Kazakhstan.
You know, Emily, a lot of people, when they retire, they go to Hawaii on holiday, but you decided to serve the Lord in Kazakhstan. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, I went with a group, and it was an amazing experience. And then after that, I went to the Philippines, and I was ill then, and I couldn't do the work with the doctor. We were going to do some work in remote areas. And then when I left that, I became very involved in my church. And I took over Bible study groups. I always went to the prayer meeting. I never missed it. And then when I was 84, I took ovarian cancer. And I had major surgery. And I had chemotherapy. And I got through that fine.
Wow. You are a survivor.
I got through it really well, and I think it was about 5 years ago, and I'm still doing okay.
Fantastic.
And I'm still busy. So that's it in a nutshell,
yeah,
Eric.
Yeah, and you're still leading Bible studies, and sometimes online.
Yes.
So you're still praying for people, ministering to people, leading younger ladies and studying the Bible?
Yes, and I'm a pastoral carer for six people that I keep in touch with. Our church is very good at looking after the people, and we've got a number of pastoral carers so that everybody in the church is cared for.
And it sounds like throughout your whole life, you just have a heart for caring for people.
Oh, yes. I don't like to be boastful or anything because it's all of God, and I want Him to get the glory, not me. And it's the same in my book. My book tells many stories, and people have asked me for more copies, but I didn't get any done. I'm getting a bit tired.
Well, let's conclude with your advice for anybody else who's listening today and wants to decide whether or not they should put their faith and trust in the Lord to help them overcome numerous challenges. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea. He is powerful. He is in control of this world. Don't think for a minute that those nations who think they'll take over everything will, because they won't. God does. God gave Himself in Christ to save the world. How could we refuse His salvation? And if we come to Christ, believe in Him, His death, His resurrection, and He's in heaven with the Father praying for us, believe in Him and your life will change. I know it because I've experienced it.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Okay.
Our guest today has been Emily Ward, and her book is called Gracious Survival, The Lord's Nurse, Glasgow, Sydney, and Tekken.
You've You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's Real People, Real Life, and Real Faith.
Real Faith is a production of Vision Christian Media.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.